Welcome to the 18th installment of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today again we will be discussing Positive Commandment 73, which is the commandment of vidui, making a verbal confession upon doing tshuva or repentance. Since we have discussed this commandment yesterday, we will only briefly summarize what the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvahs and discuss some other aspects of this commandment. The Rambam discusses the verbal statement which a person is required to make when he comes to do tshuva or repent for a misdeed. He must state before God that he has done this misdeed and then must clearly describe in detail this which he has done. And then he must ask forgiveness for having done so. Of course, this must be preceded by a person's correction of any thing which is capable of being corrected, for example, returning a theft if he has done something of the sort, and so too it must be accompanied or actually preceded by a firm commitment not to return to this misdeed and a regret of this which has been done in the past. Then comes the verbal confession to complete the process of tshuva with vidui. The Rambam goes on a long technical discussion of how we know this commandment of verbal confession applies to all mitzvahs. First, the Rambam says, even though we might have a specific commandment, when we are told that if one brings a sacrifice, one achieves atonement for the misdeed, nevertheless, even upon bringing that sacrifice, one is required to make a verbal confession of vidui. The sacrifice itself has no value without this confession. And as the Rambam brings further from the Mechilta, all commandments must be accompanied, a violation of any commandment must be accompanied not only by tshuva, but by this verbal confession. We have an explicit verse that when one enters the temple grounds in a state of impurity, one must make a verbal confession upon doing tshuva and bringing his sacrifice. However, other verses are quoted that the same applies to any type of transgression, whether it is a positive commandment which has not been fulfilled, or a prohibition which has been violated. And even if the person has been sentenced to death, he still is required to confess, and this has a power of expiation in order that the death penalty which is inflicted should have the proper atoning effect for the person. And this commandment was made for all ages, for all times, even though we see it mentioned in connection with the sacrifices, even at a time where there are no sacrifices, we are still required to do tshuva, to repent for any misdeeds, and to make the verbal confession. And although it might be implied that such a requirement is only in the land of Israel, the Rambam again quotes the Mechilta, which brings from the book of Daniel, who was in Babel, in Babylon, outside Israel, who also did vidui. He made, on behalf of the Jewish people, a verbal confession, showing us that this commandment applies in all times and in all places, in all circumstances. As the Sifra again quotes the verse, that v'hizvada, that you must confess, is referring to a verbal confession as part of the process of repentance. The details of this commandment are discussed in the last chapter of the tractate Yuma. There are many different levels of tshuva a person can do. A lowest level would be a repentance out of fear. A person is afraid of punishment. A higher level would be a tshuva me'ava. Out of a person's great love for God, they desire to correct the misdeed and come closer to Him. And so too in Ava, in levels of love of Hashem, there are also many different levels. Depending on the motivating factor behind the tshuva, the effect of the tshuva will also be different. As we can see even halachically, let us say, for example, that a man has married a woman, but on a contingency. He has a certain condition. He marries her on Monday and says that I am marrying you upon condition that I have no sins. And it happens that the person has certain sins which he has not done tshuva for. Along comes Tuesday and a person does tshuva. He repents. But at the time he actually married her, on Monday, he had not yet done tshuva, and therefore the marriage is invalid. He said the marriage is only valid if I have no sins, and since he only erased these sins The next day, he is not married since the condition was not fulfilled. However, we see from the Gemara that this only applies to a low level of tshuva. Specifically, tshuva meyira. He has repented as a result of fear of punishment. Should he do a higher level of repentance, however, do it out of love for God, then the Talmud says, as Rashi brings, Eker aveinu mitchilase. He retroactively erases the effect of this sin. Not only he is not punished for it, but it is as if he had never sinned in the first place. Therefore, if Monday he would say the same thing, and Tuesday would do such a great repentance out of love that it would erase and uproot the sin retroactively, then his marriage, his kedushin, would be valid. That since he has erased any trace of the sin, there was nothing left on Monday. Although Monday he still had the sin, and only did the repentance on Tuesday, the power and the effect of tshuva is to totally erase any trace which was left of this sin. Furthermore, we see even a higher level described in the Talmud, that if a person does it even out of a greater love for Hashem, then we say, Zdeines nasi lekezochyes, that all of his sins become mitzvahs, his sins become merit. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that as the person realizes that as a result of his sin, he was in darkness. He was in a spiritual darkness and a distance from God. This realization leads him to a greater desire and a greater tremendous thirst to come close to God. And he has Ava Rabba, a tremendous love for God, and an unquenchable thirst to come closer to him. Therefore, his sins actually become part of the mitzvah, since they are involved in his commandments. They are causing his additional mitzvahs, which he is performing in order to come closer to his Creator. They actually become part of the mitzvah itself. And therefore, he reaches a level which a tzaddik, a person who has never done any misdeeds, cannot possibly reach, since he does not have this additional thrust as a result of his thirst being far away from his source. He only has the good deeds that he can perform. However, the one that does tshuva not only has the good deeds he is now performing, but has the additional sins which were before were preventing him from coming close to his Creator, and are now pushing him to come even closer as a result of this thirst. They are therefore counted to him as merits. And this also explains the statement that in the place that a Baal Tshuva can stand, even a tzaddik does not stand there, a complete tzaddik. And as the Rambam adds a few words in his legal code to the statement of our sages, the Rambam adds that the place a Baal Tshuva stands, a tzaddik is unable to stand there. Not only he does not actually stand there, but it is completely beyond his capability to stand there. Why is it completely beyond his capability? Because the Baal Tshuva has a certain type of mitzvah, a completely different type, which the tzaddik cannot possibly have. Since the Baal Tshuva has converted a sin to a mitzvah, the tzaddik, the righteous person who has never sinned, cannot possibly have that sort of mitzvah. And therefore he cannot stand in the place where a Baal Tshuva can stand. Meaning he does not have the superior category of mitzvah, a mitzvah which was previously a sin and has now been converted and elevated. And this is actually explained as one of the reasons, and perhaps the ultimate reason, for the descent of the soul down here to the physical world. That when the soul was up in its source, it was like a tzaddik. Over there it was righteous, everything was perfect, it was totally united with godliness. However, as a result of its descent to this world, the soul becomes, in a certain respect, like one that needs tshuva. It must return, as the inner meaning of the concept of tshuva is returning, literally return, meaning to return the soul to its source. Meaning not only tshuva, that after doing a sin, one must return to the proper path, but even someone that has not sinned, as long as his soul is down here in a physical body, and he is encumbering it with certain limitations, he still has a need for tshuva, literally to return the soul to its source and express and reveal its infinite quality. Therefore, it is explained that the soul has been sent down here to the world in order to become a Baal Tshuva, that as a result of its being far away from its source, it should have this additional thirst to come back. And then, through the service of God, which the soul does down here on earth, it attains the additional quality of a Baal Tshuva, and therefore goes higher than it was even before it descended to this world. Since before the soul came down to serve God in a physical body, it was like a tzaddik. It had revealed apprehension and understanding of godliness. But after coming down here, far from its source, it now has the ability to become a Baal Tshuva and go even higher than it was before its descent. As the famous statement goes, Yerida Tzorech Aliyah, that the soul comes down in order to go back up, but not merely to go back up to where it began, but go up even higher, higher than its original source. And this is perhaps one of the reasons why the commandment of tshuva must be done with tremendous joy, tremendous simcha. In fact, we are commanded with all mitzvahs, with all commandments, that they must be performed with simcha, with joy. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, serve God in a joyous fashion. However, we have an additional simcha, a higher form of joy, when performing the commandment of doing tshuva. And the explanation is, as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that there can be no greater joy than the release of its soul from its bondage, from its exile, being incarcerated in the limitations of the body. When one does tshuva and release the soul from these limitations, this is automatically a cause for tremendous joy. That this itself is a joyous occasion, that the soul has come out of its bondage. And therefore, when performing the mitzvah, we not only have the simcha, which is present by every single mitzvah, but we have the additional joy that the content of the commandment we are performing is also a cause for simcha. First of all, we have joy, since we are fulfilling a commandment, like any other mitzvah. Here we have the additional simcha, that there is no greater joy than releasing the soul from its bondage. Therefore, it is a double joy, higher than by any other mitzvah. And this joy should accompany us, not only in our own tshuva, but in encouraging others to do tshuva as well. As the story is told of Rav Meir, who once was bothered by a group of young people who were disturbing him to a tremendous extent. And they were wicked people. And Rav Meir said that Hashem should destroy them, should take them away. However, his famed wife, Bruria, said, we see in the verse in Tillim, in the book of Psalms, a little bit differently. The verse says, Yitamu chatoim min ha'aretz, that sins should cease from the earth. And it doesn't say chaitim, that sinners should cease from the earth. Rather, it says the sins should cease. Therefore, do not pray for them to disappear. Pray rather that they should be aroused with tshuva. And then the sins will disappear, and there will automatically be no more sinners, since they will be good people. And Rav Meir agreed his wife was correct, and in fact prayed that they should come to do tshuva, and in fact they eventually did, and became bali tshuva of Rav Meir and of Bruria.